The comfort of your favorite seat is now your comfy car selling command center, thanks to Carvana.
It doesn't get any better than this.
Your favorite seat's the best spot in the house. Make it even better by entering your license plate or VIN and getting a real offer in minutes.
There really is no place like home.
And speaking of home, Carvana will pick up your car from yours after you finalize your offer. Visit Carvana.com or download the app and sell your car from your comfy place.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app today to get free delivery on your first three orders, while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Good morning, millennials. Welcome back to the Morning Toast, the Morning Zoom. We are here virtually live with you in spirit and in audio and video. Hey, Claude.
Hey guys, hope everyone's doing well. Happy Thursday. Happy last day of Passover. I went on a major shopping spree yesterday in anticipation of all the delicious snacks that have leavened bread that I'm going to eat today. First up, cookie dough. Do I have an oven? No, but I have a toaster oven, and I read on in the internet that you can make cookies in the toaster oven. And then I also got pizza bagels, and then I got tacos. I'm just like having a fiesta tonight. Amigas, cheetahs, friends for life.
Oh my God, that sounds so, so fabulous. I'm so excited for Passover to break. I have a home chef meal that I was about to make the night before Passover started, but then I forgot to make it, and then it was Passover. It's like a deconstructed lasagna. You were making fun of me for it. And I hope the ingredients are still, fresh, because I'm going to be making that tonight. And I'm also recording a Patreon day in the life of quarantine with me. So you guys will get to see whatever I decide to break my Passover fast on.
The whole point of a lasagna is to be constructed. So the sense of a deconstructed lasagna makes no sense to me.
I mean, here you are just like yucking my yums, and I'm excited about it, and you just can't be excited for me, and that hurts.
No, I'm excited for you. I just like can't get behind whoever like whatever sommelier like chef that HelloFresh hired to like come up with these like brand new like young fresh ingredients. Like I just can't get behind his idea, like thinking that deconstructed lasagna was like a smart choice.
You know what it is? Actually, they try and make dishes that you can make with like, they expect that you don't have every single pan and casserole dish in your thing. And lasagna, you need that dish that I don't have. Is it called? Where it's like a clear casserole dish.
It's a casserole dish.
I don't have that. So if they gave me a lasagna, I wouldn't be able to make it. They made it so that I can make it in my pans, which is thoughtful because it's for the amateur chef.
Jackie, that's beautiful.
Thank you, Claudia. I put my heart into it.
Okay. If anyone ever gets to see my comedy special, you will understand all these weird references. You know what's so funny is I was reading. I was up all night. This quarantine, like, I cannot fucking sleep.
You were reading?
No. Oh, sorry. I was reading Facebook posts.
Oh.
In the group, and in Tipsy Toaster, someone commented like a day ago, and like literally there was one comment, but she was like, does anyone else feel like Claudia and Jackie have changed? And like in the past few weeks, some girl was like, what do you mean? She's like, I just feel like there's a level to the show that like I don't understand anymore. Like so many inside jokes. And I feel like a lot of that has to do with us quoting my comedy special because nobody's seen it, but like we know Claudia. That's beautiful. And I've actually been getting a lot of questions like about Steenie Lexicon. And I think maybe it might behoove us to do like a podcast segment where we take questions like explaining what people aren't understanding.
Okay. I could do that. Maybe we'll do that. No, tomorrow we have like so much to recap. Maybe we'll do that on like a Tuesday. You know,
yeah, Tuesdays just are a quiet. Mundane Wednesday. Well, Wednesday's Dear Toasters and yesterday's Dear Toasters.
Tuesday had me crying.
I literally was up in bed putting it on my TV, making Ben watch the Carlos Santana thing.
Oh my God. It's so funny. I feel that, well, I'm glad that that's how we changed, just because we're getting even more like into our own inside jokes and not just like, you know, the fame has gone to our heads, like all this fame.
Oh, people love to say that too. But literally I was up all night just like reading stuff about myself. That's what I do when I can't sleep. And then like gives me anxiety, and then like I can't sleep anymore. I almost got to a point, almost, where I was on Reddit. Okay.
Oh my God. Why were you doing that?
I just couldn't sleep. And like, there was such it was dry on the internet. Like, there was nothing for me to really look at on Instagram, and Ben was asleep, so I couldn't watch TikToks. And then I was just like searching like Twitter and stuff. And then I was like, oh, maybe if I just press this. I was just looking for something stimulating and I wasn't finding it. And hearing what people have to say about me is often quite stimulating.
Interesting. Well, did anyone say anything about me?
No, I didn't go there.
Oh, okay. Cool.
But it's been a year since I've like went down that rabbit hole, and it's like really hard for me like to come out of it. So I really purposely like try not to let myself go to places like that. And I almost like had a slip up, but I didn't. I'm good.
Oh my God. That's so dark. I was so stimulated last night because we recorded our episode of The Redheads. It was so good. It's like an hour and 30 minutes almost of us just like talking about this book that we all loved. But I put together our 4 audio files. So it really, the audio was like such premium quality. It was really a labor of love. We recorded the episode at 5 o'clock and I finished editing it at 11:30. So I was literally working on it for like 6 hours straight. So please listen to it.
Oh, and for those who are wondering why Jackie and I are back to Zoom, we have made the very difficult but necessary decision to temporarily stop filming. It just is what's best for everyone. And while we are sad because we know a lot of people like live for the live stream and really have come to rely on it in these quarantine times, we just have to do what's best for our company, for us, and that's doing Zoom. So we will let you know when we're back in studio, but it won't be for a little bit.
Yeah, Zoom's not that bad. I feel like the episode on Monday, people enjoyed. We'll get better with our audio, hopefully. I mean, now that I'm using a microphone, that should be good. And if it's not good enough, we'll try something else. So this is
not good enough. I did a podcast with Taylor Strecker. I don't know if it came out yet, but it was literally like sensational audio.
But that's also because you were in our studio and you had
But she wasn't. So like we could be using our podcast equipment. The key is to record your podcast. If anyone's like a podcaster looking for how to make quality content in these quarantine times, is to FaceTime with the person that you're podcasting with. Both you have to wear headphones, and then you have to use your own podcast equipment to record on a totally separate device. So like a Zoom or your computer. And it's okay. So if this doesn't work out, I have good ideas for tomorrow and next week. But I think this should be okay.
Well, then it would be a good podcast, but how would we get a video for YouTube?
Oh, we wouldn't. Or we could record the screen, the FaceTime, but I don't know.
I don't know about that. Okay, so we're going to try and make this work. Without further ado, it is a very slow news day, but we did not want to leave you without a show. So let's just get right into the fast 4 stories that you need to know before you wake up and take a bite out of your morning toast. Okay.
Quickly. I'm feeling very vulnerable, like having my bedroom on display. Do you know what I mean? Like I had to make my bed and stuff.
Mm-hmm. No, I moved to the bedroom as well because I was filming in our quote unquote home office and the lighting was just not good. I have so much white noise coming from my AC unit, which I've never even turned on in my life. And it's just always roaring.
Yeah. You got to turn it off. That's the life of a podcaster. You always start sweating when you podcast.
No, I don't turn it on. I've never turned it on. It just makes noise. It sits there and like hums. So I came to the bedroom so I can be in front of my vanity. Yeah, it does. It does. I don't use it. I even Peloton in that room and I don't turn the AC on because I want it to feel like SoulCycle. So like,
oh my God, you're insane.
I've literally never turned the air conditioning on in that room, yet the machine is finding a way to be heard.
That's crazy.
But I think my lighting is better in here. I'm further away from Zach, so I'm not like, you know, embarrassing him on his work calls talking about Carlos Santana. Does it? I don't know. My bedroom is just like not it. I think I need to move. Okay, let's get into the first story because Michael Che is paying rent for the New York City neighbors of his grandmother who died of coronavirus. This is such a sweet story. Michael Che is paying homage to his grandmother, Martha, who recently died of coronavirus complications in the kindest way possible. The SNL star will pay 1 month's rent for 160 residents in his grandmother's public housing complex in New York City. Quote, it's crazy to me that residents of public housing are still expected to pay their rent when so many New Yorkers can't even work, he wrote on Instagram. Obviously, I can't offer much help by myself, but in the spirit and memory of my late grandmother, I'm paying 1 month's rent for all 160 apartments in the NYCHA building she lived in.
That's so sweet, but really shedding light on a much larger issue that public housing residents should not have to pay rent during the quarantine. And to be honest, like, you know, I'm not one for politics, and I think that Governor Cuomo is doing such a fabulous job really taking New York, you know, and making it into a livable place again. But this is falling on the hands of Bill de Blasio, the mayor, because this is a mayoral thing. And
this is a New York City thing.
Right. It's not a New York State thing. Like, Governor Cuomo's in Albany. Like, for the state, like, there are things outside Manhattan, and Bill de Blasio is supposed to be in charge of Manhattan, and he has been totally useless in trying to help Governor Cuomo and, like, just trying to, like, alleviate New York City as one of the biggest hubs in the world of coronavirus. And to me, this is just, like, such an easy thing that should be taken care of. And here, yet again, being disappointed by de Blasio, I cannot wait for him to be out of office. I'll literally take
It's so crazy. Like, he doesn't even have to do anything or come up with any ideas on his own during the pandemic. Just, like, listen to the people, follow Governor Cuomo, and just, like, follow what people are doing that people like, you know?
Yeah, and you know what? If I was a politician, I would actually use this quarantine and whole pandemic to my advantage, because people are really, really struggling. Like, they're looking for the first time ever. Like, I've literally never thought in my life, like, I need to turn to my governor or I need to turn to my mayor. But people are really turning to, like, their leaders. And Bill de Blasio is, like, a disgrace towards politics. He's a disgrace towards leaders everywhere. Like, those shoes were meant for a beautiful woman. And if that's the case, like, he shouldn't have had them.
He shouldn't be wearing them, because he is nothing of the sort. It's so fucking crazy. This city is in shambles. I can't believe, like, we're the greatest city in the world. I can't even get into it. It's infuriating.
By the way, people who say New York is the greatest city in the world haven't been here
I've never been here in years.
No, it used to be, like, fabulous. Like, when you watch Breakfast at Tiffany's, yeah, fabulous. It's not that anymore. It's rat, sewer, and it's
I think in the last 10, it goes in and out. I feel like New York is always, like, up and down, just like anything else. It's a Ramona coaster. But I feel like in the last 10 years, it's really gone to shit. Like, even when it was, like, Gossip Girl, when we were in high school, like, things were popping, you know?
Yeah, oh my God,
maybe
for
just because
sure.
we like, it was a nice place to be.
And there were so many restaurants and it was clean. Like, you can tell where New York is at in terms of, like, leadership and just based on the cleanliness.
Of course, just take a walk down a street. Like, you'll know what's good. Okay, this next story is so crazy. I didn't see anyone writing about it except for, of course, Pop Crave News. But Fashion Nova is trending on Twitter after the retail company sent a mass text to their customers promoting the spending of stimulus checks on their products. So they sent a push notification to people who opt in for Fashion Nova push notifications that said, when the stimulus deposit hits, save up to 80% off site-wide, use code STAYIN80. Okay, like, no.
This I know, is not, you know what?
This is not what the government intended.
No, but I do have to say three things. One, this is incredibly out of touch and, like, borderline insensitive to people who are, like, waiting on this check to, like, pay their rent, put food on the table. Like, it's just so out of touch, I can't even. But it is my understanding that the whole concept of stimulus checks is to stimulate the economy and, like, invest in businesses, and therefore Fashion Nova would be considered a business. Like, I get it. But the third thing is, like, I just want to know, like, how many people had to, like, approve this for it to go through. Like, Fashion Nova is actually a pretty big company. Like, they're fast fashion. They make a lot of money. Like, they definitely hire a lot of people. I would just love to know, like, how many people thought this was a good idea?
You know what? I don't even think it's that. I think that whoever does their social and whoever does their push notifications does a really good job. I think that person has pretty much absolute power when it comes to what goes out. I think that that person spends a lot of time on the internet, on TikTok, and got, like, just assumed this was a good idea because this is the zeitgeist, but it just really misses the mark in terms of people who need that money, not to spend it on, like, fast fashion that employs slave laborers, and instead to put food on their table and take care of their families.
Yeah, like, they should be putting food on the table, not buying a spandex dress that literally will rip the second you put it around one thigh.
Yeah, it's just, it's not it. It's, like, it's honestly a really funny fuck up. But yeah, I mean, but Fashion Nova is so controversial in general. Like, I don't even think this even scratches the surface of what's wrong with them as a company. You read that article that they literally pay their workers, like, $2 an hour, like, below minimum wage. It's, like, slave labor.
Mm-hmm. In America or, like, in a sweatshop?
In California.
Ooh. Not that it makes it any problems. Better if we're abroad, but it's just a lot of companies. I watched in one of my classes in college, they made us watch this documentary about how they took, like, five European, like, young bloggers who were, like, really spoiled and took them to a sweatshop in Cambodia that makes clothing for Zara, H&M, And they made them work in the sweatshop for one day. And these kids were like dying from the circumstances. And it was a total expose on the whole fast fashion industry.
That's crazy.
Okay. Yeah, but no, I feel like this is not going to affect Fashion Nova. I agree. Like,
no, not at all.
They're used to controversy. Honestly, this probably boosted sales for them. So whatever works.
Yeah, well, I don't think this will affect them at all. It's honestly just kind of funny. But whatever. Okay, another brand with a faux pas that's making it right is Reese Witherspoon, who's donating to Teacher Aid Organization after Draper James flap. So I didn't hear about this, but it turns out Draper James this week caught flack for a giveaway that backfired when it underestimated demand. I guess it was a giveaway for a free dress for teachers. A million teachers entered the contest for a free dress, and the company was only offering 250. So I guess they caught some backlash. I mean, how could they? A million? That's crazy. I had no idea that this brand was so popular.
Was the premise of the giveaway to give one away to everyone who entered, or just like a contest?
I think just a contest, but
so what's the problem? And how does everyone know how many people entered? That's how giveaways work. 10 people enter, one of them wins.
Education professionals were directed to an online application form with a deadline and told that winners would be notified the following week and sent their dresses while supplies last. But while Draper James' initial announcement was well-intentioned and met with much fanfare, they seemed to underestimate how many teachers would take them up on the offer. There are more than 3 million public school teachers in the U.S. alone. So maybe it was like if you entered, teachers who assumed they were entering a giveaway rather than a raffle are sharing their frustration on social media. So I thought,
I'm sorry. No.
A giveaway is different than a raffle though, because it's not just like, oh, a few. It's like, we're giving it away. I don't know.
250 is a giveaway. I'm sorry. In my opinion, there's nothing wrong with this contest. That's how contests and giveaways and sweepstakes work. It wouldn't be exciting if everyone won. Of course,
Sure
could get a dress, but that's not how the company, that's not how the giveaway works. Why are they apologizing? This makes no sense. I must be missing something.
Well, Reese Witherspoon made a donation to the nonprofit Donors Choose to support teachers in three southern cities. The donation from Reese and her fashion line Draper James will support all of our highest need teachers in New Orleans, Atlanta, and Nashville, and many more throughout the country.
That's fabulous. I love a donation. I just need to know what controversy was really there that spiraled. She didn't just donate for no reason. You go through controversy and you donate. That's how being a celebrity works.
I feel like there's something about, I'll read the article again. I feel like there's something we are missing as to why this is so.
If they're guilty of something, every brand, including the Toast, is guilty of doing a giveaway. Giveaways are meant to be where winners are selected. I'm not understanding. And if this is like the level of heightened cancel culture we've got to, then I'm shook.
Okay, this is what the angry teachers were tweeting. Out of 535 teachers on a social media page on Facebook, not even one got a free Draper James dress. What in the what? They all received codes for either 20 to 30% off discount codes. They said, can't even afford the dresses with a discount. Great marketing ploy. Another one. Wow, Draper James clearly doesn't know how much teachers make. We love teachers. Here's 30% off our ridiculously expensive dresses. If I'm spending $100 on an everyday dress, it better also grade essays.
Okay, I'm still not understanding.
So the teachers are upset. You got to protect the teachers.
You have to protect the teachers. But so are they mad that they didn't win the contest or that they never were able to win the contest? There's a difference. But if you didn't win... That's how it works. I'm very confused. Yeah. I'm sure it's frustrating to them to have not won, but like, just because, does entering this specific contest guarantee winning it?
I don't know.
And just because this one Facebook group got mad, Reese Witherspoon had to make a donation. It sounds like a subgroup of people who hate the Toast.
No, totally. I have no idea. That's a really crazy story. So,
yeah.
Well, anyway, whatever. You know what? At the end of the day, more money for charity. The teachers are benefiting, and we love to benefit the teachers.
1,000% taking the load off of them. So whatever weird turn of events got Reese Witherspoon to make a sizable donation to Donor's Choice, like, here for it. I love exploiting a celebrity, like controversy, just to make some money for charity. The charity world, man, it's just crazy.
It is really crazy. Our fourth and final story is that Kanye West is on the cover of GQ. Oh my God. So I haven't read the article yet and I want to read it because I hate when people like try and sum up what Kanye said. And it's like, that's not what he had said, you know? Mm-hmm. But so I read Kanye West is on the cover of GQ in a tank. And I was like, oh, like he's wearing a tank top. Like who cares? And then I was like, I saw the cover. I'm like, that's not a tank top. I was like, but it's a tank.
It's literally like a tiny tank.
He loves a tank moment.
Yeah, I didn't read the article either. I'm just like happy for him and whatever like he's spewing. Sometimes I just literally can't keep up with the Kardashians. Like there's too much.
I know, but it's just like he's sharing his in the article. It's called Inside Kanye West's Vision for the Future. First, he changed the sound of popular music. Then he revolutionized fashion and sneakers. Now Kanye West is redesigning the very building blocks of family life, food, clothing, and shelter. And he's claimed thousands of acres in Wyoming as a test site for his ideas. GQ followed Kanye from Cody to Calabasas, from Cabo San Lucas to Paris to see it all firsthand and to talk to him about his next album, his altered ego. Oh, that's interesting. As opposed to alter ego, altered ego, because he changed his ego and his renewed faith in God.
Sounds interesting. Sounds just like, yeah, honestly, must have been super fun for whatever like intern journalist got to travel with Kanye from Cabo San Lucas to Paris. You know, like, do you think that they put him on the plane or they made him fly commercial?
I think they put him on the plane. They're pretty good about putting people on the plane unless Courtney's coming and then the trainers and the security have to fly commercial.
Totally.
Kardashian's not tonight.
Oh, yes. So it was Real Housewives of New York. I'm hoping we're going to get better episodes of both because this past week just didn't do it for me in terms of New York Housewives or keeping up with the Kardashians. I have a high bar, especially after watching this stellar, sensational, inspired, and fabulous premiere of Real Housewives of Beverly Hills. Like, that's my level now, and I don't feel like I should watch anything less than that.
Yeah, so I feel like that's a great segue to recap Real Housewives of Beverly Hills, which is really, like, the reason for the season.
The reason we did an episode today, because it was oozing fabulosity. I've never been so excited. Every time Beverly Hills comes back, like, I get chills. Like, I'm excited. But this, in my opinion, was one of the best season premieres of any franchise ever.
Okay, here's the thing. I, like, kind of agree with you, but I feel like it was just the best because we were so excited. But when you break it down to its essential bits, and because we love all the women, like, it all revolved around this Kyle Richards New York Fashion Week fashion show that was, like, so season one. I feel like anytime a housewife does a fashion show, it's, like, so janky and so, like, season one, season two housewives. And I just couldn't believe at season 10 of Real Housewives of Beverly Hills, like, Kyle is taking us back there with some janky-ass fashion show where her daughters and her castmates are walking.
Okay. Yes, I agree. Like, we are so above, just in Beverly Hills and the fact that we're on season 10, like, we're above a fashion show put together with scotch tape. I totally agree. But in Kyle's defense, like, it was as good as it could have been. Like, she did get Pier 59 at New York Fashion Week. She had a full production. Like, Kyle, Paris and Nikki were there. Like, it was the highest level Housewives fashion show by a mile. And I didn't think it was so janky. Yes, I'm, like, over a fashion show in a Housewives, like, franchise because it's so silly. Like, it's never been real, but it was at the level that I expected it to be at.
I don't know, it was just, and even seeing the behind the scenes, and it's like she hasn't even seen the garments. It was like, what is going on? Why is Kyle Richards, like, putting her name on this? Why is she always doing these collaborations? Like, there's something that I'm not understanding. And she was, like, talking with Dorit, like, I'm not just gonna put my name on something, like, that I don't believe in. And it's like, why are you even in this position? Like, you used to have a clothing store. I didn't understand. I do agree that the fashion show came out as best as it possibly could. But there was something so season one, honestly, about it. I can't explain it.
I didn't, until you mentioned it, like, I didn't really get, like, all bent out of shape over it. Like, you're right. Like, it is below them for sure. But, like, it didn't impact the way that I felt or, like, the episode, because to me, there was so much to the episode, including the fashion show. But I don't even know where to start. Let's start with our two new ladies because
I absolutely, like, even saying the words fashion show, like, I feel so corny. Like, I can't. And you know who's the only person I'll take a fashion show from now on the Real Housewives? Honestly. Like, the only one who makes me feel something with their fashion show.
Who? Dorit.
Melissa Gorga. No, Melissa Gorga. I love her fashion show. It's like family. She is who she is. She's like running down the runway, like being herself. She actually owns a clothing store. Like, I like her version of a fashion show. But when anyone else is like, what, bringing it to New York Fashion Week? Like, oh my God. Maybe I just don't go to enough Fashion Week stuff and that's actually how it's done. But just, I can't with a fashion show.
Okay. I really didn't think it was that big of a deal.
It makes me feel like when we were like 8 years old and we used to walk down our hallway and be like, fashion show.
See, to me, that's what Melissa Gorga's was. Like, Kyle's had a production. Like, there was a lot of press there. I was actually invited and couldn't make it and, like, was lamenting the whole episode that I wasn't there. And
why
I
couldn't you make it?
I had someone to do it. Like, I had another commitment.
What could have been, like, more poppin' than that? Honestly.
Something. I remember, like, being upset that I wasn't able to go because I knew they were filming.
Damn, that sucks.
Okay, let's talk about the two new women because Garcelle Bouvier was just
love
everything. Like, she very seamlessly, like, even though it was obvious she didn't really know anyone except for Denise, everyone was super welcoming. I have such a good feeling about her. Like, she's funny. She didn't, like, sometimes when somebody joins, and I think this happened a little bit with Teddy Mellencamp, like, they're just so eager to, like, be a part of the group that they're very much, like, a people pleaser, and they don't really add much to conversation until they get comfortable. But Garcelle is very much, like, a force, and I think a lot of the women, like, respected her vibe, especially Erica Jane, and I could see a very powerful friendship between the two.
I totally agree. I loved her energy. I love that she, like, didn't pretend like she didn't know who these people are, but she's still getting to know them. She's not just, like, making assumptions about them based on what they wear, like some other people. Sutton is, like, the wodiest wode I've ever woded.
You know what? I have to say, I thoroughly disliked Sutton, but not for the reasons that one might think. Like, I'm 100% sure that, like, production was asking her questions. Like, what do you think of Teddy's outfit? Like, I don't think she's generally like that, like, just going around and being mean about people's outfits. I'm sure what she said was her truth, but I just think she was provoked saying that. What I really disliked about her was that, like, I don't know, if she's as rich as everyone says she is, like, that's just not how rich people act. Like, even when she got to go to Dolce & Gabbana's house and get dressed by them, like, and it was obviously, like, a very prestigious thing that happens to her a lot, she was just being so braggy about it, like, and so ostentatious, like, not gracious, and not, like, I just felt like if that was something that happens for her regularly, like, and she was a really, really rich person, people like that would act differently. Like, they would act with more grace. She was just being so show-offy and so braggy, like, to Lisa Rinna and for the cameras. Like, it was just giving me, like, a really bad vibe that she's, like, the worst type of rich person.
Interesting. Yeah, I'm gonna reserve actual, like, judgment of her until we get to know her a little better, because right now we're only, like, we haven't really had, oh no, we did have a confessional with her, but I want to see her home life, and, like, I want to get to know her. Maybe there's more to her, like, but this was just not a good debut episode, considering, like, Garcelle was there and just, like, showed you how it's done. It was just a little clunky. And you know what? Maybe, like, this explains why she doesn't have a diamond. Maybe she's not getting one, because it seems like with all the drama about to take off, like, if she doesn't ingratiate herself in the group quickly, she's going to get left behind, because, like, we're turning to Denise soon.
Yeah. Also, I was getting the vibe that she, like, knew the housewives formula and was just, like, saying and doing things because she wants to be a housewife, which is the worst type of mentality you can come in with. And I do think that, like, she starts petty fights and, like, is a little nuts, and it comes off inauthentic. And I think that she might end up not being a housewife just because she's not good at it.
Yeah. And the other women, like, she might have been able to be a housewife in another city, but the Real Housewives of Beverly Hills are just on another level. Like, my girl, Dorit, like, was she extra precious this episode, or was it just me?
She was a little bitchy about the fashion show. Like, she literally went to one meeting and claimed that the show wouldn't have gone on without her.
No, she was a little bitchy in her confessional, but not at the, not in real time, which makes me feel like something might happen between her and Kyle to, like, make her talk, like, so negatively.
Also, Kyle was, like, tweeting shady, like, she was live tweeting the episode and just, like, being shady, especially about the things that Dorit said, like, taking credit for all of Kyle and, like, the production Tracy's team's work.
I know, but, Dorit, like, I know, but the fact that Kyle was, like, beefing with her production team, it was just very season one. And you know what it was?
That was funny.
It was very Real Housewives of Orange County when they had the fashion show on the boat.
I happen to think that was hilarious when she got a phone call and they were like, Tracy said she wants to stay away from you today. I thought that was hilarious because that woman Tracy was, like, being so angry at the meeting at Shahida's before. I didn't have, like, that reaction to the fashion show that you did, but I totally understand and respect why you did.
Yeah, but I will say, ultimately, I really liked a lot of the clothes. I completely agreed with Garcelle that Erica was in the wrong outfit. I loved when Dorit went to the showroom or whatever, the closet, when she put on that
like jacket, trench.
That like trench, but it kind of looks like your pajamas vibe. Mm-hmm. I absolutely loved it. So I really do like a lot of the clothes. I'm excited to see where this goes for Kyle because that really is her signature style. I just wish there was a way to showcase your new fashion line without having a fashion show.
Yeah, I agree. I thought the fashion line was actually pretty cute. While not everything was for me, I could see Kyle Richards wearing everything. And so for her to put her name to that, I understood why she was like all verklempt when like Shahida was out making ugly yellow mustard tops.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree. And also Sutton like respected the clothes as well. And so did Garcelle. And I feel like it actually was good stuff. I wonder where it's sold. I wonder where you could get it. I feel like you would actually look like really good in a lot of that stuff.
Thank you. Also really quickly, I did a little research on Sutton Strack's husband because Lisa was like, he's a hedge fund, money, 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 baseball teams. And I found his like net worth being $690,000. So no, it's obviously not real, but like just makes you think.
I thought you were going to say 690 million. And then I was
when like, I read it, when I read it, I assumed it said 690 million. And then it said 690,000.
Interesting. But like if they own two baseball teams, then shouldn't they be billionaires?
Yeah, no, by the way, if you own a baseball team, like you are rich before because you have to buy the baseball team. Like nobody is just starts small with their baseball team and then gets rich. No, she's
definitely and then gets
like,
two of them.
Right. No, she's up there, but I don't.
And then the baseball teams are worth something. So their net worth would have to be at least $1 billion. And you know, if she's a billionaire, if she's a billionaire, like, we'll give her a few more episodes.
Yeah, but I just have to say, like, for all the trouble we went to go to Dolce & Gabbana's house, that atrocity of an outfit she ended up walking out in was really a disgrace to fashion, a disgrace to women, and a disgrace to life.
Well, you know what? Like, here's the thing. It really didn't suit her, but I feel like it would have been really cute on me.
Actually, it would have been cute on, like, Kyle Richards. Like, I could see her wearing
Dorit.
Something. Like
Dorit.
Yeah. Yeah.
Dorit.
Garcelle on Watch What Happens Live, when she was asked which of the ladies have the biggest ego, she said Kyle Richards.
I feel that. I also feel like it's warranted because she's the last OG, like Tracy Morgan, you know?
Yeah. And look how she's acting versus like Teresa Giudice, who's the last OG too. Like Teresa Giudice is a monster. All right, Kyle has a bit of an ego. We'll give it to her.
We'll give it to her. Yeah, I totally agree with that. Okay. I mean, the most incredible part was the last minute of like teasing and showing and foreshadowing this huge, what's the word? I forgot
bombshell.
The Yiddish word. Bragus.
Oh, yeah. Like this big thing that we've been hearing about. I wasn't entirely sure the validity of it, but they didn't pretend like it hadn't gotten leaked, which I really appreciated. Like they acknowledged that people are talking about how Brandi Glanville exposed that allegedly her and Denise Richards had an affair. And that seems to be the thing that kills the group for Denise. And they're it looks like they come at it from a place of like, we all come on this show, like no skeletons, like we have to be completely honest. Lisa Rinna's like, I'm talking about my daughter's eating disorder. And I agree with that, but something about the way like who Denise was before the show makes me think like she didn't come on this show to like bear her all. She came on the show for a paycheck.
Yeah. I feel like when we see it all unravel, we'll have different thoughts because right now, like, yes, I agree. You're supposed to put your life out there, but there's a lot that these women don't show or don't talk about and the other women respect it. So if Denise is having an extramarital relationship and either it is because she's in an open marriage or not, like that seems like the type of thing that the other women for each other would have ordinarily protected, you know? And like even with Dorit and her lawsuits or like Kyle and Maurizio have been through a lot and Erica and her, like there's a lot of stuff that comes up all the time and the women like actually draw a very hard line.
That's why last season when Camille came for Dorit's finances, it was like such a big deal.
And so while they are very authentic and they share a lot of their lives, I wouldn't call them the castmates that bear all.
No, I agree. I agree. I do think that, and I'm sure we'll find out, I don't think Denise Richards was running around having an affair. Like, she's been very open about her and Aaron's, like, sexual you know, rendezvous, romps in the sack. And I just think like having somewhat of an open relationship when it comes to like being with a woman is a part of that. And like, who cares?
Well, we'll see. We'll see. I'm remaining open-minded about it because I feel like watching it play out, we might feel a certain type of way that we couldn't possibly feel right now because we don't know anything.
Yeah. But overall, I just thought it was like such a good episode, such a good premiere. I love having these back. Every outfit was just stellar, stellar, stellar. Like Eric and Jane at V-Files, like they really have become, because of the show, like so famous. And I love that they're leaning into that. I love that the first episode they went to New York. I feel like normally they maybe would have had like one or two episodes like getting ready for New York. And like, I just don't need that. Like they just dove right in, which makes me think they have a lot of footage and like they don't need a lot of filler episodes, which is very exciting. And I'm just so pleased with where the cast is at. I love how famous they are. Like I love how Lisa Rinna like was famous before, but is now more famous than ever for being a housewife. Erica Jane is so famous. Kyle is so famous. Like they're leaning into like the housewives fame. And it's not like the traditional housewives fame that has like a little bit of like a want to it. It's like, it's, that's what I forget where I read it, but it's like Beverly Hills is the crown jewel of the Real Housewives franchise. And it's so true.
Yeah, it's so true. It's such a pleasure to have them back on TV. I'm so excited. I didn't realize how much I missed all of them and having like their fashion inspiration in my life. And also like they make me realize how much the other housewives and franchises, like the fashion is just like really bad.
Some would say a disgrace.
Yeah, some would say that. Okay, so here's an update on Toast Movie of the Day. I didn't have time to finish Hannah Montana, the movie, because I was up until 11:30 doing the Redheads, and then I had to watch Beverly Hills, so then I started Hannah Montana movie, but then it was 2 a.m., and I had to go to sleep. So I'm going to give one more day for Hannah Montana, the movie, because I'm still going to watch it, because I was just, like, loving it already. And plus, we have to watch Rahoni and Kardashians tonight.
Yeah, so there'll be a lot of stuff to recap on tomorrow's show. Hopefully some more celebrity news because today was a little thin, like me. Mm-hmm. So if that's it, thank you guys so much for listening to The Morning Toast, the Millennial Morning Show, where we go live Monday through Friday, 10:30 a.m. Eastern Time on YouTube. So if you're watching us on YouTube, please feel free to subscribe. Give this video a thumbs up. We're also available as a podcast anywhere podcasts can be found. So that's Spotify, iTunes, Stitcher, Public Radio, iHeartRadio, CastBox, all the places, wherever you listen to podcasts, find us, The Morning Toast, and leave a 5-star review about how beautiful, stunning, and smart we are. Love you guys very much. Hope you guys are staying safe, and we will see you back on Zoom tomorrow.
Bye.